You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of September 15th, 2021, and Sony tells us there's games coming out. Someday.
To the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alvor.
My name is Scott Juster.
This is a serious but a humorous conversation about video games. We have a tendency of releasing this podcast right when other big news things are dropping. last week, shortly after we released the podcast, PlayStation held their PlayStation Showcase to show off some of the games that are allegedly coming out in 2022.
There was even a couple that they had the common decency to not even put a date or even say like further out on. So I thought that was nice of them. But like there's quite a few games that are like doubling down on this, on like Sony's whole thing of like, we like single player games, everyone. You know,
yes,
everything, yeah. Everything's going to be a narrative single player experience, which it seems like they're just really like leaning into.
Yo, for sure. For sure. I mean, we're all excited about Alan Wake, right?
I never played Alan Wake. Did you play Alan Wake?
No, I didn't. I think I own it on something.
And I'm almost positive I own it on Steam because it feels like one of those games that you just kind of get every once in a while.
I should check. Yeah, I think I probably played maybe like an hour of it because I know you like run around with a flashlight or something.
Yes.
I should play that actually when the remaster comes out. Anyway, there's a bunch of games to talk about. We should probably tackle them one by one. Yeah. Should we save like the best for last, or how do you want to accomplish this?
the theoretical, like what we expect the best, or the best meaning the most ridiculous.
Well, why don't we start with? Is there any particular announcement that surprised you? Looks especially interesting.
Let's see. I mean, the fact that there was just some brand new stuff surprised me. So this Project Eve, this game that kind of really has strong Bayonetta vibes from everything from the anime to the anime butt, seems to like really kind of be going for that Bayonetta vibe there.
I almost started with Project Eve myself, exactly right, because I think the Bayonetta vibes are strong enough to actually pick my interest, you know?
And perhaps be legally actionable.
I mean, that's true. Like the hair physics alone, right? Like someone has been paying attention. I mean, you know, it looks extremely Japanese.
Yes.
I think it's actually a Korean game.
Yes. So it had it has the greatest website, the greatest URL at the end of the trailer, which is eve.shiftup.co.kr. So it's a Korean game.
Sweet. Well, in either case, I think it looks kind of surprisingly good. It is stylish as hell. Right.
Yeah.
Which for a lot of games announced periodically, you know, it does not have much style. It doesn't have much, you know, fire. So I thought it was really cool.
I just keep going back to this, you know, kind of Devil May Cry, whatever they call it, character action game. Like it looks like a team with inside of Platinum could have done this or something, which I give as a compliment.
Yes.
But it also just has strong vibes of like, well, guys, Nintendo says they're doing Bayonetta 3, but they've been saying that for at least 5 years. So you know what? We're going to make our own Bayonetta 3.
Hey, man, more power to you, you know? More power to you. Get it while the getting is good is what I say.
Yeah, I mean, it seems, and this was one of them where they didn't even put a date on it. So, you know, who really knows? But weirdly, it seemed more like a game, or at least a vertical slice of a game, than some of these other games that they showed. So
yes.
I was interested in it.
So one of the other ones that they showed that I think is a good comparison in my mind, when I'm talking about what Project Eve offered in terms of style, there's the game that was previously Project Athia that is now Forspoken.
Yes. One this of the worst titles I've ever heard.
I mean, what's the game that we really liked this past year that had the awful,
Returnal?
Returnal. Yeah. That, I mean, is it worse than Returnal? Because that was a fucking terrible name for an actually pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe this is we might be forming a new gamies category as we speak, but we'll have to see.
Oh, worst name. That's a good one. Forspoken is fucking trash as a name. I think besides the character being somewhat interesting, like, hey, you're playing a black woman. That's awesome. Right. I just, there's nothing about this game that looks like anything more than a technical test to me.
It is somewhat interesting that it's kind of a kid in King Arthur's court sort of vibe, where, you know, this person from the real world, you know, gets into this kind of mystical, you know, quasi historical version of some fantasy world.
And think, only you can save us.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a hero's story or whatever. Yeah. I think it would have been, wouldn't it have been so great if, because this is a Square Enix game, why didn't they just have it be like a Kingdom Hearts game or something? You know, where she's like, Donald Duck? What? You know?
I mean, look, maybe it still will be.
I mean, maybe. It just seems like it's kind of funny that they, Square Enix, which they have a lot of universes and they have a lot of properties, and if they were to do a fish out of water, you know, becomes a hero type of story, they could have easily done it in so many different, you know, actual properties that they have, you know.
They could have gone like full Space Jam.
Yes.
If they wanted to.
They could have,
That's a good point. Forspoken, you should have been Space Jam.
I mean, I think it's funny too, because certain scenes in this game, which again, to your point, like very much could be tech demo-ish or whatever, but like they look very kind of, you know, 2014 era over the back kind of shooty shoot type of thing, you know, like her magic things kind of looks like a machine gun. And like, there's just the way that it recoils and stuff. So like, it really is, I had kind of lost track of this whole project, and now I feel surprised by what it supposedly is, you know?
Yeah. In a way that you're interested in it, you mean?
I mean, I'm kind of interested in it just because it's also kind of wacky that it's a brand new IP.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Which is weird for many of these games where there's like multiple new IPs, or at least, you know, new games in established out of video game style, you know, IPs, where usually it's just, especially with a company, again, like Square Enix, that could have so many different other properties to go back to, that they would choose to do a fully new and launch a fully new IP, which is, you know, kind of surprising to me.
Yep. Allegedly, Forspoken will release spring 2022. What's the over-under on that?
Dude, there's... I mean,
not a chance.
Yeah, no way. I mean,
geez, well, also, like, so many games have been delayed into this coming spring. You think Forspoken, a brand new IP, is going to launch in March against those? No way.
It just doesn't look very... Who knows? Maybe it's more done than it looks, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. Another spring 2022 game, allegedly. Ghostwire Tokyo released a new trailer.
Yeah. So I kind of was interested in this game because it just looks just so kind of off the deep end.
100%. Yep.
In a Japanese horror way.
Well, it looks like it's basically the plot of a Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
But with Japanese ghosts, you know? Like, the ghosts have come out, and now there's like weird Slender Man, and like, you know, the girl from The Ring is coming at you and stuff.
And like that Kabuki ghost guy, and like all of the like classic Japanese, you know, specters are are here to fuck up Tokyo. I feel like the game looks quite a bit different than when we first saw it, just in terms of the aesthetics. You know, I got the more like neon vibe or whatever from the first stuff that they were showing of it, but maybe there's just different types of environments, different types of tones or whatever they're going for.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like Control in that way, actually.
Yeah, that's a good point. And this is not, it's not a multiplayer game, right? Like this.
No,
is just
I don't
a,
think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever play Geist on the GameCube?
No, but we've talked a lot about Geist because it's definitely one of the more... This is the game where, as a ghost, you inhabit inanimate objects.
Yes. Yeah. But it was
Bring
also...
Geist back.
I mean, it was a very... It wasn't like a traditional horror game, which always kind of reminds me of these types of things where you know, it's not like zombies attacking or whatever. Like there's like a seemingly a different kind of thing that they're going for.
Yeah.
I also, come on, this game can't be coming out in 2022, spring 2022. Like,
yeah,
I guess like spring 2022, does that mean like all the way up to, from like May 31st or something? Like is June the cutoff of spring? You know,
I bet you it's, yeah, I would say it's probably through Q2. So like into June. Yeah.
Mm.
Would be technically spring, but
it just doesn't seem, I don't know. My gut tells me no.
I think that this game looks very interesting, but could also be very bad. So my bet is that if it comes out in spring, it will not be good. If it gets delayed, it's because it's actually potentially very good.
Right.
Or at least very interesting. So.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things where it could very well, like, you know, it's clear they cut together the trailer in a very dramatic way, but I could see this game being much more deliberate than we might think at first.
Yep.
In terms of the powers and maybe even like puzzle type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, what else did that to you?
It's super interesting to me that they announced this a while ago, so it's not brand new, but the Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy stuff is taking the same track as the Avengers game that they put out last year sometime, where it's Marvel, but it's not the MCU.
Yeah, and so it's people that, like, you are looking at Groot, but it's not, it doesn't look like Groot, and the same with any of the characters. Star-Lord looks like a totally different person.
Yeah, and that sort of thing is just, it's weird to me because there's no reason. The only reason why this Guardians of the Galaxy game exists is because Guardians of the Galaxy was re-energized by the MCU.
Yep,
and
100%.
So we've now kind of come, there's so, it just is, it just speaks to the just immense and baffling power of the MCU that they're able to revitalize a like niche comic book series from Marvel into a game that does not even trade on the face of Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
The sweet abs of Chris Pratt.
Yeah, and just everything. I mean, the sweet abs of Dave Bautista, the sweet head of Dave Bautista. Just, I just don't. It's so funny to me that it is financially viable for them to make a Guardians of the Galaxy movie that is not even tied into the movies, but is still, you know, clearly they're dumping some money into it.
The thing that interests me though is, despite not being tied to the movies, there is now an expectation that this has the same comedic tone
exactly
that Guardians has had, right?
Yes. Like, yeah.
And Star-Lord is gonna be, you know, maybe not doing a Chris Pratt impression, but certainly is going to be characterized more like he is in the film.
Yeah. And I don't know why I kind of rag on, I'm not like maliciously ragging on it, but I don't know why I am not as jarred by something like Spider-Man compared to this.
Because
Spider-Man's the same way. Like, I mean, Spider-Man is like, has, you know, the reason why Spider-Man has continued to, well, I guess, I mean, maybe,
well,
not.
Spider-Man is closer to our hearts as well, purely as a character.
That's what I was, yeah, I was kind of contradicting myself when, if Into the Spider-Verse teaches us nothing else, is that, like, Spider-Man can be anyone. And so we probably have more tolerance for different
anyone being
takes,
Spider-Man.
Yeah, of Spider-Man. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. That, I guess that makes more sense.
Well, speaking of Spider-Man, shall we talk about Spider-Man?
Or Spider-Men.
Spider-Men. So you make a good point by starting us off with Spider-Man, because it shows this trailer. It's just a teaser, really. But it shows Peter Parker next to Miles Morales.
Yep.
Which is great. But the way that they stack them two together, it got my hopes up that this would be a co-op game.
Yeah.
So badly want to play Spider-Man co-op. Like, can you imagine how fucking sweet it would be? You know, you're swinging through the buildings, I come around and I'm swinging right there with you. Like, or tag teaming and throwing people, and then you're like slinging them in the air. Like, there's so many cool opportunities for this to be co-op. It is not co-op. It is, they've confirmed it as a purely single player game. This trailer extremely bums me out in that regard. Everything else, though, very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, they again, this is the weird overlap between the Marvel universe and the not Marvel cinematic universe of, you know, they're giving Peter Parker his cyborg spider legs, Yeah, it's but and also they're introducing Venom, which he wasn't in that first. He wasn't in that the Amazing Spider-Man game, right?
No, he was not.
Okay, yeah, because I did not play that one, but I did play Miles Morales, so I didn't know if they had introduced him yet. But I mean, you know, that I feel like that aside from Dr. Octopus, of course, like Venom is the logical.
Yeah,
Venom's the logical choice, you know.
Well, and the Tom Hardy Venom films have done remarkably well over the past. Yeah. Well, I guess that last film did remarkably well. The new one is coming out later this year. So there's a lot of like excitement around Venom as a character anyway.
Right.
The symbiote stuff on the lettering makes me think like maybe we will be able to play as a Venom version of Spider-Man or play as Venom. Because I think, you know, Venom's, the narration is by, I think we're meant to assume it's like Kraven or something. And then Venom is responding to him, so maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll get to play as Venom, which could be cool.
Well, because Venom, I have not kept up with the whole, like, with the trajectory, but, like, for a while it was Eddie Brock, right? Eddie Brock and the symbiote, but they would always refer to each other as us, right? You know, yes, like, correct, oh, we hate him, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's cool. I mean, I think... Yeah, it would be cool because the other thing too is like eventually, like any good villain, Venom kind of turns into an anti-hero at a point, and you know, it would make sense if they were to do a kind of, you know, Halo-esque switcheroo where you're playing as Venom for a while, you know, in the back half of that game or something.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Venom is always such an interesting character because within the Marvel universe, but the Spider-Man universe in particular, you have like. These over-the-top villains like Kingpin or Rhino or Green Goblin or the Vulture, right? Who are sort of mustache-twirling villains. And then you have Venom that looks like he's come out of a fucking horror movie, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he does not jive with the rest of the villainy of the Spider-Man universe. That isn't to say there aren't, like, true villains or the stories aren't, you know, really personal ones, but Venom, I think, just as a villain is just one of my absolute favorites. Always has been, because he's such a, like, weird, creepy dude, you know?
Yes, yeah. And it's... And his whole thing is that he's just obsessed with Spider-Man. You know, it's not even that he wants to, like, take over the world or whatever. Like, he just... The symbiote is spurned, you know, as a spurned lover or whatever. And it's just a creepy storyline that is quite different from all of those.
Yeah, very cool. Sony said that this would come out in 2023. I think this is an accurate assessment.
I was about to say, at least they had the common decency to tell us.
Yes, because they could have just, honestly, they could have just as easily said fall 2022.
Yeah. No. And laughing all the way behind our backs. Yeah. Like Jim Ryan was like, suckers.
Yeah, exactly. No, 2023 actually seems reasonable. I could see this, you know, they're building on existing infrastructure. I could see this being fall 2023.
Yeah, yeah. Should we stay on the superhero
bandwagon
for a minute? So there was a tone piece for another Insomniac game, Wolverine.
Man, Insomniac. Hats off to you.
I mean, folks. They're doing a lot of work. I mean,
they're doing a lot of work. And if you're going to put Marvel in the hands of anyone, Insomniac has proven that they know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Again, it is a tone piece, like you said. It's just, I'm a gruff guy with claws, you know? But I'm excited that Insomniac is working on a Wolverine game. And while I know that Spider-Man 2 is not co-op, maybe one day I can hope for the Insomniac game that incorporates multiple Marvel characters together. You know? If you could play as Wolverine and I could play as Spider-Man and we're playing Insomniac Avengers, like, that's the dream, right? Like, what I want this to become is the MCU version, but for Insomniac.
Right.
Where they're building the characters from the Marvel world and we eventually get an Insomniac Avengers game that is, like, fully realized because every single one of their characters got their own unique, robust story and world, you know?
Well, and ironically, it opens up the door for stuff that the movies couldn't do because of weird rights issues and, you know, the weird Fox acquisition and all that stuff. So I also remember maybe it was a PS3 and Xbox 360 era Wolverine game that actually wasn't half bad. Do you remember that one?
I probably didn't play it, to be honest.
I feel like there was at least one or two Wolverines that were just like straight up rated M Wolverines where you would just stab motherfuckers in the head with your claws, and it was, you know, third person character action games. There's a fair amount of quick time events. You know, there was some stealth because of Wolverine and all that stuff. Like, it's not like it wasn't, I wouldn't necessarily say it was as polished as something like the latest Spider-Man games, but it's not like there's never been a good Wolverine game. So it will be neat to see their take, especially post Spider-Man. How many teams does Insomniac have? Because they were working on Ratchet and Clank. Yeah. They did the Miles Morales thing. They're doing the new Spider-Man thing. They're doing this Wolverine thing. Like, I mean, they must just be constantly busy.
Yeah. I assume that they've just got a small army over there.
Yeah, I never really thought of them as a studio that had like multiple concurrent games going at the same time, but I guess
I wonder if they've just staffed up incredibly over the recent years, partially to finish games of their size, but also just because they know that they have these opportunities, right? I mean, the first Spider-Man game was so well received that I could easily imagine Marvel saying, why put this in the hands of anyone else? I mean, I know they have the Guardians game, and Marvel's being licensed to all hell for a bunch of other developers, but if you really want your standout title, you know, and this company's been, we talked about Insomniac, I think, in like a dedicated podcast about for years, they were a trusted team to remake games as well. And so it's just kind of sort of like a natural conclusion. I think awarding them something like Wolverine is such a good sign for the studio and a good sign for that ideal future where we do get like an Insomniac Avengers could be a real thing. Like, that could really be something that comes to fruition, you know? Because right now we have Guardians over here and we have Spider-Man and Miles Morales over here, but those two don't meet, right? They don't intersect in the way that we're seeing in the MCU, because everyone's licensed Marvel game is its own independent thing, right?
Exactly.
But that's not really the way that we consume stories anymore. Not the way that we consume superhero stories, largely because of the MCU.
Right.
But also because of the way that the MCU has expanded into television as well, right? Like, I could be watching a Loki TV show that is hinting at villains that are going to be the main villain of the Spider-Man, and are going to play an important role in the new Spider-Man film, right? I think we kind of want to get there in regards to video games as well. It just so happens that video games take a really fucking long time to make. Right. Some of them are bad, and it's just, you know, it's not as easy to... There's not a Dave Filoni, right? Or a or individual team that we know can over sort of run the whole ship in regards to the MCU that you can in a film franchise, right? Mm-hmm. There's not necessarily in a single creative director. The best you can do is give it to one group of people like Insomniac and hope that there's consistency across their titles. So I don't know. I think at the very least, I am optimistic that Spider-Man will make an appearance in the Wolverine game, even if it's just a cameo.
Right, right. I also realized after we said this, this probably also speaks to the kind of resourcing that Sony can give them now that Insomniac is like fully a full part of, you know, first party Sony instead of having to like run its own business, which makes more sense, where you could probably sustain all of these games if you have the backing of, you know, formally the backing of Sony. So maybe that acquisition was a, you know, that was a good plan for them.
Yep, for sure.
Let's see. What else?
Also, I love that Ratchet and Clank game, man. That was a great game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there. It also, they seem to be some of the people that are figuring out the PS5 stuff the best, you know, early.
Yeah.
And so all of this stuff, you know, having that new Spider-Man game, having the Wolverine game, you know, that it's cool that someone who is kind of on the forefront of the latest consoles is doing that.
For sure. For sure.
Can we talk about can we talk about car pornography here for a second?
Yeah. Gran Turismo?
Yes. I feel like this footage is like borderline illegal in some territories.
It looks real good, right?
Just like how much the people who are working on this game just are horny for cars. They just
can't get enough.
Love these cars.
Yeah. Well, so do the people who play those games, I assume.
It's like they, even the like, you know, orchestral organ overture of this thing. I mean, like they just love cars so much and love people that love cars. Yep. And it's fully passed me by. There's no way I'm playing this game, but I'm very happy that somewhere in some studio, there's a there's a Ferrari and some guy is sitting under the Ferrari with a microphone, minutely capturing the vibration that happens in like the lower, you know, in like the rear axle of it, you know, it's just the level of detail.
What I always loved about like these GT games also, they include not just like Formula One cars, like they're just like boxy Volkswagens, I assume. Like, I don't know anything about cars, but there's just like all kinds of weird cars.
A
like,
Toyota Corolla.
There's like a GT Cruiser. Like my mom's car from the 90s is like remodeled here perfectly. It's pretty wild that they have a commitment not just to, you know, the sexiest, fastest cars, just cars generally.
Yeah, they just They're love cars. Good. Automotive car. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those that I do feel like they will probably hit their date of March 4th.
Yep.
It seems like they've been working on this for some time and you know, this is somewhat of a more known quantity, but you know, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Have you ever played a Gran Turismo game?
I have. I played one many, many years ago. I know because I distinctly remember being inside like the, you know, the first person view of inside the car and like not knowing how to shift gears, you know.
Well, those race cars, like there's like paddle shifting. I was like, what the fuck is even going on? Like,
yeah, I mean, those games take it. I mean, it's basically like a flight simulator at this point for cars, I'm assuming.
It is. I mean, I wonder if they, you know, it's, I was kind of surprised they didn't really say anything about their VR plans because they've gone back and forth so much on what they're going to do with VR. And now they're kind of, they're back on the VR train, but they haven't really said anything about it. It seems like Gran Turismo 7 would have been a shoe-in for, and you can go inside each of these cars with, you know, Sony VR. It just seems like it would be like the flight sim stuff. It would be a good fit for all that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Shall we talk briefly about Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic?
Very briefly, because I've never played these games, but I know that they're like the precursor for Mass Effect.
You would love those games. Yeah, KOTOR is awesome.
Yeah.
It's definitely a precursor to Mass Effect because it leaned very heavily into your behavior changing not just your light side, dark side alignment, but those around you, right? Yeah. It really felt like it had an impact on the greater experience that story was telling. I don't know if you've looked at any KOTOR footage, but it looks pretty rough.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was what, like early 2000s era game or something.
Yeah, like it is not a good looking game, so it is very much overdue for a remake. We talked about this briefly before starting to record, but because of Final Fantasy VII, I'm at a place where a remake could mean anything. Right.
Yeah.
The teaser for this is like really nice footage of Darth Revan, you know, with the lightsaber looking creepy in the dark and stuff. But yeah, I don't expect it to look that good, but it could look really good. And they could use it as an opportunity to change things, like change the story, add new elements, maybe references to like other things. Who knows what they could do with it? Because at this point, anything goes. And I don't know. Do you think that Final Fantasy VII has raised the bar in regards to remakes, generally speaking? Or do you think this is just going to be like, you know, word for word,
right?
Copy paste. I mean, I know that I believe that they have brought back some of the writers to help give the script another revision.
I watched Let's Plays of KOTOR 2. I forget which one, but like, I remember thinking to myself that they were trying to do a lot, but were maybe a little bit too early for, but you really saw what they were trying to do with KOTOR with Mass Effect.
Yes. Yeah.
Even when it came to the script and the characterization and everything, we're like, they just didn't quite have it yet. Even the dialogue, you know, like the dialogue was good, but clearly like, oh, you hadn't quite figured out how to make this flow right with all of your, you know, trees and options and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, remakes in general are just like blown wide open where, you know, Final Fantasy VII is a great example of it's, you know, it truly is a remake, not a remaster. An update or a remaster or an up-res or anything. So, you know, remake could even mean that they combine both KOTORs, you know, and and get ready for the inevitable, you know, new KOTOR, which I'm sure is probably somewhere waiting in the wings, you know.
Right. Which people have been asking for years anyway, you know?
Yeah, yes.
I think this is, you know, we talk about sometimes how everything is old is new again, and we're just right. rehashing old stories. But this is one that I'm genuinely excited for, because it really has been a very long time since I've played KOTOR, despite yeah. it being a very influential game
yeah.
And a memorable game. And I think a lot of people feel that way, but there's a whole generation that never played KOTOR.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for me, remaking it and showing what storytelling can be when you're, in, specifically in the Star Wars universe, when you're not tied to the Skywalker storyline, yes.
yeah.
I think is important, because yeah. there's so much more about the Star Wars world that I enjoy that goes above and beyond just what that Skywalker lineage is. And we have yeah. very few examples in film. We basically have The Mandalorian, which even then, spoiler alert for The Mandalorian, dips into the Skywalker
I saw universe some of that a little stuff. Bit. You know? Yeah, where it's like you really... Any kind of filmic version of Star Wars is so tied to all that Skywalker stuff that, and like all the dorks like us who before Disney destroyed it all were like much more knowledgeable about the expanded universe and stuff, which to be fair was still very Skywalker centric, but yeah. it just still expanded it so much more than the very narrow view that you get in most of the movies.
Yep.
Yeah. And so it's just cool to see something that is like that still getting some airtime, you know, in video games.
Yeah. I mean, we know that other companies, including Ubisoft, are working on Star Wars games. So it's exciting that there's an opportunity that we might get other stories outside of just, yeah. you know, yeah. the sort of Skywalker world. We got the recent Star Wars games, which were great. I really enjoyed those anyway. So, you know, the more the merrier here, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. A couple more things, maybe?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know how to pronounce this. Is it Chia?
Yes. I assume it's Chia, like the seeds.
Yeah. I thought this looked cool and refreshing after all of the very heavy, very noise distortion-y trailers.
yes.
And it seems like something that... We're still, even all these years after, are still kind of figuring out like how Breath of the Wild is going to influence games.
Yes.
And so I'm interested in, you know, I'm not a big Genshin Impact player, but like that and like a few other games are clearly kind of taking some cues from it. Yeah. And so I'll at least try this game out because it's a sort of kind of exploration adventure type of thing that yeah. I haven't played for a little while.
I think Chi looks awesome, and it's actually one of my favorite trailers from the entire showcase, because yeah. it looks like not just Breath of the Wild, but the way that she can jump into animals reminds mm-hmm. me of Dishonored. And I was like,
that's true.
The fact yeah. that you can take Dishonored and Breath of the Wild and combine it into like a little quirky, right. joyful children's game, sign me up. I think that's great. I think that's yeah. super cool.
I feel like they were like 2022, like maybe this is like we play this next year fall or something like that. You
yes.
know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But even so, it's a little bit like, I don't know.
yeah. I mean, it's a tiny indie game. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What else?
Tiny Tina, are you tired of Borderlands yet?
Man, I feel like I've never even finished a Borderlands game, and I'm very tired of Borderlands. Like, there must be, I mean, good on them, whatever. Like, there must be people that love this, but I just feel like the tone and the weird like internet-y aesthetic. Humor and the kind yeah. of, and also just like, I don't know, Gearbox just seems, I've all the Randy Pitchford stuff and everything else that seems to be revolving around Gearbox has really kind of soured me on just all of that stuff in general.
Yeah I agree yeah. I mean, and even on the Borderlands like aesthetic and tone, I've definitely like lost interest in that. I think the Wonderlands thing is cool in that they've leaned into a sort of weird, more colorful fantasy world, but it's still yeah. a looter shooter. And at yes. the end of the day, like I just have less and less of an appetite for that. It's feeling increasingly dated to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. you know.
We'll just whatever. Wait till they put their battle royale mode in it.
yeah. I mean, and then it'll be all the rage. should we just get to God of War?
Speaking of rage.
speaking of rage.
Yeah, let's maybe we finish with God of War. I mean, of course, extremely hyped for this.
Yes. Looking good. Kratos. Looking
very good. I think they clearly do a time jump, you know, based off of the trailer. You know, Atreus is, you know, an angsty teen now instead of an angsty tween.
instead of saying boy, you say young man.
He's trying to shave with the blades of chaos, and Kratos is yelling at him.
Tween, get over here.
I think that the most interesting thing about this is the meta story that Sony said that this is going to be the last Norse game from God of War, which was very surprising to me, because it seems like, well, one, everything has to be at least a trilogy these days. And two, it's like, okay, cool. You got Baldur in the first game. The second game ends with, you know, Odin showing up. The second game ends with Thor showing up with his hammer and everything. Obviously, the third game will be you take on Odin the same way you took on Zeus, but they seem to be, you know, changing plans or subverting that somehow.
Yeah. Well, I don't imagine that this will be the end of Kratos.
Yeah.
So what God universe is he going to go to next? Or, like, is he just trying to peace out overall?
Go to space? He tried to peace out once.
He cannot catch a break. Yeah.
we left that first game, which was a strong ending, but it was clearly setting up something huge, you know, much, much bigger story. And it seems like the game itself is much, much bigger. You know, they showed the areas where there was, you know, villagers, you know, that seemed like there was, you know, kind of inhabited areas of wherever they're going to be traversing this time around.
I thought that was interesting in particular, because so much of the previous God of War was just exploring basically a vast wasteland.
Exactly,
you know? Or like ruins and stuff. I mean, besides going to, like, you know, some of the, what is the elf realm? Svartalfheim or whatever.
All of the Heims.
Yeah, all of the Heims. besides those locations, but even those locations still felt like you were just exploring ruins, right? Like, they were not occupied places anymore. Yep. The idea that you're meeting other people in this world is like, oh, okay. That's kind of nice. You know, maybe Kratos needs to get out a little bit more, you know?
it's weird to see Kratos potentially interacting with with people in a not... Well, it was even strange in that first game where you were interacting with those dwarves, you know, the dwarf brothers or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so rare to think of Kratos as interacting with someone other than, like, crushing their head underneath a huge stone wheel or something.
It's hard to imagine Kratos just grocery shopping, you know, and waiting in line at the checkout counter to buy his, like, you know, mandarin oranges or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm extremely excited for this game. I want to know, like, I just want to know how they wrap everything up. I mean, I really, for as silly as it was, I really was interested in what they're going to do with the relationship and what they're going to do with this stupid character that we have loved for so long, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's weird because the first game was so much about wanting to leave behind this, like, cycle of violence anyway, you know, and saving your son to be free of that. And now it just feels like you're in this shit again. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is the conclusion of really, like, letting go of the trying to maintain control over the destiny of his child or what have you. But there's a part of me that just wants Kratos to just wrap it up, you know? Like, this guy's seen enough shit, you know?
Right.
He's been through a lot.
How likely do you think it is that Atreus kind of becomes the God of War at the end of this game? Because he's supposed to be Loki, right? At the end of that game, you know?
Yeah, he's supposed to be Loki. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the direction the story seems to head, but then it doesn't become that. Like, I don't... Would Kratos let his son become a god of war?
Right.
That feels like a critical failure on Kratos' part.
Right. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I don't know what to expect, but obviously I'm, like, fully on for the ride.
Yeah, very, very excited. No release date for God of War Ragnarok. Any guesses?
I mean it has to be 23, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know, they would have said something if they really thought that they could get it out by holiday of next year.
I mean, they show a lot of gameplay. I mean, it is looking good. I know that is a very vertical slice that is well polished based upon.
Well, and they're clearly building on the first one too, because I'm sure, I think they even confirmed that this is going to be a cross-platform, you know, PS4, PS5 type of thing.
I think the most optimistic side of me says fall of next year if they're just really aggressive about
it. Right.
Other than that, yeah, 2023 for sure. But I don't know. I mean, something about the quality of this trailer makes me think that it's feasible for this to be their leader getting into fall of next year.
Yeah, if they... yeah, it could be one of those surprise things, basically, where they're like, you know, they're able to lead off with it.
Because, I mean, what else does Sony have, right? Like, I don't think that Horizon Zero Dawn will release this coming 2022, right?
Right.
Or the new Horizon, so.
They did confirm that. They confirmed Horizon is supposed to be, because they pushed it back again, and there was that whole stink about, like, how they're going to handle the upgrade path for people that buy the PS4 version. I think it's supposed to be spring. I want to say it is. They finally
confirmed. Forbidden West is spring 2020.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, you're right. February 18th.
Because it was originally supposed to be like a launch window thing. You know, they had pushed that back a few times.
Why didn't they show any of it during the showcase then?
I think they already showed something of it recently, which is where all that info came from. Because there was that whole thing you know, what's his face? Jim Ryan had to be like, you know, don't worry, you can still upgrade it, but for $10, you know, like that sort of thing.
Sure, yeah.
So I think they had gotten out there already. They probably talked about it too much already, and they're like, look, the next time we talk about this thing, it has to come out because we've already delayed it for like a year.
True. Well, there you go. I mean, maybe Forbidden then this coming spring. Yeah. Optimistically, God of War in the fall, Spider-Man the following year.
Yeah. Well, then that's our year. Then we'll be thinking about the PlayStation 6.
And, oh, God. Which we'll be able to access and buy some point in 2040.
Someday our grandchildren will play a PlayStation 6.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up there for this week. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is the website. You can find our podcast wherever you find podcasts. Do us a favor, leave us a review, and tell a friend.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao. I'm